So when Joe Biden and Joe Manchin are together and one of them wants coffee, do you think they just like say, hey, Joe, want a cup of us? I'm Jeremy Siegel. I am very sorry you had to sit through that joke. This is Politico Dispatch, and today on the show...
My name's Anthony Adragna. I'm a Congress reporter who authors Congress Minutes, which is a new Politico product, giving you the day-to-day, up-to-the-minute, real-time analysis of what's going on in Capitol Hill.
Anthony Adragna on what might get cut from Democrats' massive spending plan, how that's changing by the minute, and why you're probably not alone if you don't know what this bill is all about. So the reason I bring up Joe and Joe having a cup of Joe is that the two, along with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, met yesterday over breakfast to talk about plans for the Democratic spending plan framework that Democrats initially wanted to be $3.5 trillion for social programs, now looking somewhere over $1 trillion. And they talked about what's going to make it in and what might get cut. And given that, I wanted to talk with you about sort of the nit and grit of what might end up with this bill. At this point, what are the biggest things facing the chopping block?
Oh, man, there's so many things that are potentially on the chopping block at this stage. Everything from paid leave to the extent of prescription drug pricing provisions, Medicare expansion. It's a litany of big priorities. And of course, climate change as well, which has been something that the Democratic caucus has been very united around. But they're all potentially up for some really significant trims or outright cuts. And that's why, you know, people are meeting face to face now as they get into kind of the nitty gritty of these talks.
Why might these things get cut? I mean, I know we always talk about Senator Manchin, about Senator Sinema. I mean, when you think about, you know, things like climate change or Medicare expansion or paid leave, you know, they sound generally like things that fall under Democratic priorities, priorities for the Democratic Party. Why are these things that might not end up in this bill?
I mean, the short answer of it is that Senators Manchin and Sinema have been really dug in here. And so you end up with just having limited tools of things you can move around. If Senator Sinema's dug in against raising taxes on corporations and the wealthy, she's obviously given some there. But if you end up being limited in how much money you can raise, that means you have to trim back other places. Mm-hmm. When I think about the two senators that we're focusing on, Manchin and Sinema, I then tend to think about them pretty differently. People have been calling it Sinemanch, Manchima, and I think that's actually the wrong framing for me. Joe Manchin comes from a state that President Trump won by more than 40 points. He is a conservative Democrat. He's not strayed from that. That's very frustrating. But Democrats, frankly, are quite fortunate that they have any Democrat from West Virginia. Senator Sinema's case and her perspective is a little bit more confounding to me. It's a state that President Biden narrowly won. She narrowly won her election. But clearly the state is trending in a different direction. And to be as hardline entrenched against a lot of these things and seemingly unmovable just tends to make a little less sense, I think, to outside observers who are frankly baffled by where Senator Sinema is coming with a lot of these things. There's so many competing priorities here. Democrats have been trying to pass a lot of these things for decades, and it's really hard when you get down to things that lawmakers have devoted their entire careers to, and they're being asked to make cuts. That's kind of the dilemma facing Democrats right now.
I know these are negotiations that can change by the minute, and it's your job to report on how they change by the minute. But when we are looking at, you know, funding for climate programs or funding for Medicare or prescription drug pricing, like what specifically are we looking at when these things are on the chopping block? Like what sort of changes to funding are we looking at?
It's a good question. And I think it's probably going to be different depending on the areas. So, you know, with Medicare, if it could be the length of the program or what specifically qualifies, do you do dental, vision, do you leave both of those out? That's obviously been a big priority for Senator Sanders. With climate, I can tell you a lot more. It's specific programs, right? Senator Manchin opposes a national clean electricity program that was crafted specifically to fit within the rules of reconciliation. But with that out and people still saying we need strong climate provisions to vote for this bill, other corners of the caucus, do you plus up tax credits? Do you try to craft another program that can sustain Senator Manchin's but get his buy-in in the end. It's really consequential things like that. And I think what you're seeing with President Biden being so hands-on here is really trying to, you know, force people to make those difficult decisions. We feel like we've been talking about them for months because we have. But until Democrats make those hard calls, the bill's going to be stuck.
You mentioned how we've been talking about this stuff for months. And I think when we do talk about this stuff over such a long period of time, we end up getting caught up, especially as journalists covering politics and looking at like the things that are getting cut and are sources of major contention, the things we were just talking about. But can you lay out for me at this point what isn't getting cut, like sort of the foundation of what makes this bill so important to Democrats and that we could end up seeing getting passed at some point?
I think this has been the really challenging thing to cover this bill. And it's something that members of the Democratic Party have hit the media on. But the answer is, I can't really tell you. We're here. Our colleagues are reported over the weekend that things like Medicare expansion and paid leave may be cut altogether. The White House is pushing back strongly on that. But so what I can say confidently is if Democrats get this done, it will be the most consequential investment in social spending programs, jobs and families of recent memory. But they're still working out the details here and they're really consequential. Do you cut Medicare expansion? Do you cut climate provisions? So I think what they're all coalescing around is the idea that we need to get something done, and it's going to be consequential if we can get that far. I think if you told a lot of Democrats that you'd end up with a $1.5 trillion spending bill on top of other major investments, a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, the American Rescue Plan, which was over $1 trillion, they would have been pretty happy with that. And I think part of this has been the people had their sights set so high that even trimming it back a little bit feels like a major defeat for progressives. But it seems like whatever emerges from this is going to be really consequential, albeit not all that many progressives would want.
Democrats hope to have negotiations on this finished by the end of this week. Do you think that's going to happen?
we've been blown through deadlines left and right. I would say that the talks feel like they have a new sense of urgency at this point. I mean, we are having breakfast meetings in Delaware. Come on. but I don't know. I'm still skeptical that you can craft. People say that big portions of the legislative text here have already been written. But as I said, the details are really, really consequential in a lot of these areas. And by the way, have to then be sold to the members of the caucus, some of whom are going to be disappointed with what emerges. I don't think that happens in a week. That's my bet. But actually, sausage making and crafting legislation is hard, and frequently deadlines are blown. And I think what we're seeing here is the need, the urgency to actually land the plane is new, but I still think it's going to take longer when you actually have to finish it up. Hmm.
Besides the content of the bill and how consequential it could be for some people living in the U.S., what's on the line politically with this?
I mean, so much. Joe Biden's the bulk of his domestic agenda is in here. There's also, there's going to be a major international climate summit that begins in Scotland at the start of November. Biden very much wants to be able to come to that summit with as much detail as possible about what the U.S. is prepared to do to address climate change. It seems clear that the bill itself is probably not going to happen by then, but I think he wants to have, you know, really detailed policy that he can present to the rest of the world and say, you guys got to step up your ambitions on climate change. We're about to do this. Follow us. And I think that, to me, more than anything, is what's driving the urgency here. They really don't want Biden to show up politically empty-handed to the rest of the world.
Before I let you go, I wanted to just ask, because you are the author of Politico's Congress Minutes, which literally looks at the sort of minute-by-minute machinations of these things, why should people care about the sort of little things, the back and forth that is happening every minute behind closed doors, when at the end of the day, as people living in the U.S., we're just sort of going to end up with what we end up with what's in this bill in the end? Like, why should we care about the little minute by minute changes on this stuff?
That's a great question. I think the answer is that I hate to go back to a line that I've used. I'm a former policy reporter, though, so it's my comfort space. The details really matter here, right? If we're talking about whether paid leave is 4 weeks or 12 weeks or not in the bill, if we're talking about whether dental coverage, eyeglass coverage is in the bill. Those things really matter and are going to make a real impact on people's lives. Whether this prescription drug negotiation program is able to raise $200 billion or five times that, that really matters too. Whether you're going to get the ability to have a rebate should you buy an electric vehicle. Things like that really matter. And I know it's frustrating. I know it's confusing. It's confusing sometimes even for those of us whose careers are covering this stuff. But I advise people not to look away because these decisions are really important. And you don't want to just look back at the finished bill and go, what the heck's in this? Mm-hmm. So that's why our teams of policy journalists are keeping their eyes and ears very close to the ground on this and why we'll continue to cover the minute-by-minute update on this legislation.
Anthony Adragna writes Politico's Congress Minutes. You can find that at politico.com/Congress Minutes or in this episode's show notes. Also, today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she expects higher inflation to linger for months, then ease by, quote, the middle to end of next year. The most recent consumer price index showed prices have gone up 5.4% in the past 12 months. But speaking to CNN over the weekend, Yellen said as the country moves past the economic shock of the pandemic, she, quote, expects that to end. Yellen also cited supply chain issues and worker shortages as a result of COVID-19 that has hampered the economy, specifically naming health and childcare concerns as two major reasons firms are seeing a shortage of labor. And CDC Director Rochelle Walensky is encouraging families to celebrate Halloween and other holidays despite the pandemic, though is still urging prevention strategies. Speaking to Fox News Sunday, she said, quote, I would say put on those costumes, stay outside and enjoy your trick or treating, but did note the continuing potential for the spread of COVID, even as the infection rate from the Delta variant has slowed in recent weeks. Walensky extended her guidance to other upcoming holidays, saying, quote, get yourself vaccinated before you gather. It will absolutely be safer if you're vaccinated. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a minute, leave us a rating and review. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.